What it do, people? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Episode 291 of the On Deck TV podcast is here. We are talking March Madness again. This is week two, though. We've moved on to sophomores. We're talking sophomore slumps, man. Whose albums killed it on the debut, but the follow-up, wasn't all that, man. We're going to discuss that and more today. As always, this episode is brought to you by Realville Media Group. Do me a favor. Go to realvillemedia.com. Check out all the shows on the network.
All the shows on the network consist of the Full Sport Press Podcast. We got J-Ho, we got Big Jeff, and we got How Weezy joining in with FSP Cameraman giving you the visuals over there. This last episode, they were joined by Coach P, man. That was a good look, man. He gave them the insight on what it was like being a Division I coach for the Tennessee State Tigers there locally in Nashville, Tennessee. And they also gave some postseason awards. So go check out the latest episode of FSP and check out Fresh for Dummies. Fresh for Dummies has J-Ho. Hove, and he got Animal Brown to giving you the latest in fashion and the latest in street gear. That is a brand new issue every other week. Check those guys out. Everything realvillemedia.com. Check out the shows on YouTube. Brand new episode coming to you right now.
Hey, what it do, what the business is?
It's another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown, the Husky Vegan, a.k.a. Nipsey Brussel. Follow me, Animal_Brown, on Instagram, Twitter, and Snap if you're looking for me.
I am Spike Lou on all of the aforesaid mentioned sites.
Okay.
M Extra.
Producer M Extra, where you at, buddy?
I am your boy M Extra 3 on all things social media. M Extra stands for M Extra Drip.
Yep.
Wow.
We're gonna leave that off. We're gonna edit that out.
Extra drip on there this week, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
What you have on deck, M Extra?
This weekend, actually spent some time with my brother. We hung out a little bit. Nothing major. Went to an art show.
Your twin brother.
Yes.
People still get y'all confused.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Interesting.
I went to this photographer that I was introduced to had a showing downtown. It was pretty cool, so I went to that.
Dope.
Swaggy.
I'm here for that. Lou, what you have on deck?
I was slow motion. I was excited to get a new episode of Billions in this weekend. Got to try out Apple TV. Y'all were big proponents of that. I tested it
Life-changing.
Out. It is fire.
Apple TV is fire.
That much closer to cutting the cord, 100%. So I'm an advocate now for Apple TV. What about your weekend, sir?
Man, I tried. Shout out to Styles P. I went to his. You know he has an online pharmacy?
Yes.
The first health food black-owned pharmacy.
Yep.
Ordered some black seed oil. It came in. It tasted disgusting.
That is a fact.
Yeah, like it's really hard to hit, but I feel 10 years younger already. I've only been trying it for like a week. And I look 10 years younger.
Black seed oil.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. It cures everything but death, apparently. That's what they say.
You get that in your CBD and you're just straight out here.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. You live to be 200 years old.
You're ready for war out here.
I also tried to watch that Michael Jackson documentary on HBO. I made it to the 42-minute mark and I got out of there as fast as I could.
As a Michael Jackson fan, is that what made you want to get out of there or did you just not believe it?
No, none of that. It was just the subject matter was too much.
It's graphic in nature.
Yeah, I'm good.
You watched it?
I'm trying to see.
Heard about it.
Yeah, it's rough. It's a rough watch. Matter of fact, I seen somebody say after they watched that, they deleted all their Michael Jackson music and they added R. Kelly music back on. Yeah. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, I had somebody text me and said he's worse than R. Kelly.
That's how bad it was. I got it at the 40-minute mark. I'm sorry. Thriller too cold. I got to keep listening to that shit. I don't need nothing to taint that image right there. It's rough.
I ain't never checking that out.
Yeah, don't.
I ain't watching R. Kelly. I ain't watching that at all.
No, R. Kelly was funny, though.
I can see that. R. Kelly been funny with Gail. That's been some of the funniest shit you're going to see.
I don't know how I'll tell nobody.
Man, if that don't scream guilty, before we get into it, like, you can't go like to 10 like that. The video, the documentary came out.
That's one thing.
You really can't go to 10 like that if Gail ain't going to engage you. If she going to sit there like with the...
Yeah, unbothered face.
Really?
Robert.
Yeah. Nah, that was funny.
It was. All right, let's get to this music shit, man. A lot of stuff to talk about. First things first, we're going to talk about TDE. Something's brewing over at TDE headquarters, guys. Top Dog Entertainment. In addition to Schoolboy dropping his new single, Num Num Juice, him, Kendrick Lamar, and Absol all changed their avatars to solid colors at the same time. So Kendrick's is all black, Schoolboy's is yellow, and Absol is like a white brick. So two-part question. What did you think of the Schoolboy single, number one? And number two, what is your best guess at what TDE may have cooking?
I love that Schoolboy single, and I may be a little biased because I picked him to be very successful this year, and I picked him to stand out amongst the TDE people and to take a level up in the game. But I like the song. I like I think that he's playing into what the market is doing right now. Num Num Juice, to me, is him dumbing down his flow. He is a very – he's a high-end artist when we're talking about bars. Like, he can bar you down if he needs to, but I feel like this song didn't require that. But what it did require was some repetitiveness, some catchy stuff that the kids are doing nowadays. For sure. And that's what Num Num Juice is, so I think that sets the tone for him for the summer to come out and have that blockbuster album that I'm waiting on. Changing the colors of the albums,
or excuse me,
the avatars.
Yep.
TDE promotion, I think that's something that maybe an album's coming, and those probably look like they do on Instagram when they show you the little blocks of the picture before they reveal the whole thing. So it's probably somebody album cover, whoever coming next album cover coming out, and they're just showing you different parts of that. That's my guess as to what it is, but I do think something is right around the corner. Not a Kendrick Lamar, not a Schoolboy yet. Maybe the new guy that they signed, I can't think of his name right now, it escapes me. Or maybe some SZA, something of that nature, just to get the summer hot. And then once that starts to roll in around May is when you get the Kendrick Lamars or when you get the Schoolboy Q.
First of all, the Schoolboy Q song is banging. I heard it on satellite radio, but I got in the car in the middle of the song, so I didn't know who it was. And I was like, damn, whoever song this is, this shit kind of hard. I was like, what is this? And it was like, it's a new Schoolboy. I was like, oh, no, that shit is riding. And to your point, it is a little bit on the quote-unquote dumbed-down scale, similar to the way J-Rock did Win last year. Mm-hmm. He hadn't done a single like that before. You could tell he was helped with Kendrick. There was a little bit of help with that to make it kind of a crossover joint. I feel like this is giving me that same vibe. But the song is fire. Now, in terms of what they may be having cooking up, now listen, you gave your prediction that you think Schoolboy is going to do his thing this year. I also gave my prediction that we get that Black Hippie this year. Mm-hmm. And look at the three people who's changed their avatar. Nobody else did. It's Kendrick. It's Schoolboy, and it was Absol. Now, listen, that's all we need in life, y'all. My one wish for 2019 is to get that Black Hippies, because nobody else changed it. Isaiah Rashard shit's still the same.
J-Rock didn't change his, though, did he?
Is J-Rock Black Hippie, too?
You gotta be.
Fuck.
He the first one now.
It just need to be them three.
Don't do J-Rock.
For the sake
don't
of my argument.
Don't do J-Rock any kind of way.
Can't do it.
For the sake of my argument, I'm going to hold out hope that this is the Black Hippie album that we've been waiting on. But to your point, it may be pieces of an album cover because Kendrick's was just a black screen. However, the image on Schoolboy is like a marble type of joint. And then Absol was like a white brick.
That's what made me think they're taking little pieces of a bigger picture and putting it together. And that also plays into the TDE Voltron, we all stick together type family deal that they got going on. I think that all of them do a great job. We don't see it everywhere else of getting behind each other. Getting behind each other when they got a project coming, an album coming. You all like when MMG per se was in their heyday and Meek was hot and Wale was hot, you had clashes at the top because both of those are A-list, A-type personalities. Yep. I feel that you have those same personalities at TDE, but it's trickled down from the top with Top Dog and with Punch as far as what he put out there for them and what they should do as a company. And I think everybody towed that line, and in towing that line, it makes TDE a lot more successful than other conglomerates that we see today.
Yeah, they move as in unison, which is dope. The one time you kind of saw a little bit of riff was when your girl was like, I'm out. I think she fake retired once or twice.
Yeah, SZA.
Yeah, SZA fake retired. And then we thought Isaiah Rashard got kicked off the tour.
That was us hating, though. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, he needs to be kicked off the tour. That's probably why I was thinking. I was just really hoping.
You're a big Isaiah Rashard hater.
Yeah, he's trash.
I've came around.
Yeah. How?
I came around. I went back and listened to the project. What's the name of
The Sun's Tirade?
Yeah, that one.
That shit garbage.
I like it.
Man, I like that.
Maybe I was in a good mood that day or something, but I like that project.
I'm not as amped about this Schoolboy single as you guys are. I don't like the fact that he dumbed down.
You got a wizard.
Yeah, I don't like he dumbed down. He don't have to dumb down. But, I mean, it wasn't bad, but I wasn't like, oh, it's banging. Like, it's a little disappointing to me.
That shit banging and the video was hard.
The
video was tough. I like the references, the pop culture references in the video. That shit clean as fuck. I think the single is hard, and it's like a nice riding to. It's like a nice whip single, like something you can ride to in the whip.
For this time of year, it's perfect for this time of year to prep you up for the summertime. What don't you like about it? You said it's too dumbed down?
Well, I don't like the fact that it has to. Like, the sound didn't catch me. when I first heard it. Like, for it to be a single, it didn't catch me. Like, Win caught me instantly.
Yeah.
This is not Win.
But this is his attempt at a win.
Yeah, but it's a loss in that attempt.
Over or under 50% chance these albums come out in a short span, a la Good Music last year.
Now, they don't have to do that. I think that there was more behind Kanye's 7-album thing that had to do with his deal that we see now that he's in negotiations with trying to get out of his deal. I think that had to do with that. And he didn't want to put 7 albums out, just like no creator probably wants to rush that process. And I think TDE has a formula, like we just spoke of, that they are sticking to, and they're going to drop one artist, and they're going to wait, they're going to let that circulate, and they'll drop another artist that's probably in a different genre, and they'll go from there. I don't think that they're going to rush and give you that 7. I don't think that 7 thing is going to catch on
not
as
necessarily
much as we would like it to.
Not necessarily having them 7 tracks, but maybe them just dropping in continuation.
No, back to back, that's what I meant. I didn't mean the 7-track. I meant back to back, like trying to do a whole month. I think the TDE is of the thought process that they would rather do the whole summer as opposed to 6 weeks.
That shit was dope, though. I feel like that's a moment in hip hop, though. The only reason I think that they wouldn't do that is because they would be looked at as biting. It was too close to what Good Music just did.
I'm gonna be real with you. I think that most creators would say that they like Teyana Taylor.
Okay.
Teyana Taylor didn't like that process. Pusha T didn't like that process. Nas didn't like that process. I think that the guys that are dropping the albums when we speaking of TDE are too creatively involved, and they want to be like, it's art behind what they doing. You know,
right?
Like,
for
they
sure.
ain't just rapping. In
it's
my
art
opinion.
Behind good music. Don't do that. Don't do yay any kind of way. You see him in church.
I ain't seen none of them. I've been forcibly trying to miss that. But what I'm saying is, and I don't want to get into a Kanye rant or talk, but I think that his agenda to get those 7 albums out had less to do with it being a moment, like you said. It just happened to be that because it was Kanye.
You just hating because it was Kanye.
No, I'm just saying it happened to be a moment because it was Kanye. I don't think it would be a moment, one, for TDE because it would be Biden. Two, because creatively they don't work that fast, so they wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's why I say it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, my whole thing is I don't think it's going to be rapidly or consecutive back to back like that, but they have to make some noise this year for sure.
Yeah.
All you need is a Kendrick album?
No. They have to. I mean, people want a Kendrick album, but I'm saying as a collective, they have to make some noise. Like, people want to hear Schoolboy and Absol.
That's a fact, but like if their backs were against the wall and they threw out a dud with whatever's coming, just drop a Kendrick album.
I mean, yeah, you always have that to fall back on. That's a fact. But I do think, like you said, they need to make some noise. I think it's that Black Hippie shit coming. I'm holding that. I'm going to call that from now until the end of time, until I'm right, goddammit.
Yeah. I mean, the fans will love it. I mean, but TDE's, they're pretty consistent. I mean, even when Kendrick wasn't out last year, they made noise. They made a lot of splash with the Black Panther soundtrack.
Absolutely.
And J-Rock album was fire.
And Reason album was fire, too.
Yes, and Reason. Shout
Quiet as kept. Yeah. All right, we'll keep our eyes peeled to social media, see what TDE got. Let's take it down south, man. T.I., it's your man, by the way.
It's the King.
King, shout out.
On his IG, he compared himself to the late, great Tupac Shakur. Let me give you the caption. Riddle me this. Who since Tupac has maintained this much consistent diversity within music genres, businesses, and other opportunities? I'll wait, end quote. Now, some listener commented, what about Jay-Z? T.I. responded, respectfully to the GOAT, what major feature film has Jay-Z starred in, end quote.
Fact.
My question is, does T.I. make a fair case to his comparison to Tupac?
When you put it, if you throw the film stuff in there, then I guess yes. But I think at this point in time in 2019, T.I. is like shortballing himself. T.I. could be a bigger person, and it's what I was speaking to when I was talking about the thing with Floyd, when I was talking about the Gucci stuff and some of the stuff that T.I. wastes his time on. The way T.I. articulates himself, the way that T.I. carries himself and is accepted by a mass amount of people, saying that I'm the next Tupac, that ain't really saying much, in my opinion, as far as where he could go. So I think he putting himself in a box, and no, I don't think he the next Tupac just by like saying that I did movies and I did a film and I did the album and I've been keeping it real or whatever it is that he's comparing it to. But what I will say is that I just think that he's putting himself down a notch some by saying that I was the next Tupac. Tupac died before he got to a point where T.I. is, as far as activism, as far as being able to speak on some of the things that he was never able to fully think out. The whole Thug Life thing that Tupac was talking about, a lot of these were just ideas. T.I. is of the age where he can act on these ideas. He can be a way bigger figure than Tupac was because he has the rest of his time in front of him.
Add T.I. to the list of, I don't know, 40 rappers who have compared themselves to Tupac. That seems to be like the thing to do. We heard Trav do it that much recently.
See what I'm saying?
You want to go back, we can say Ja Rule when he said it. Okay, here's the thing. When you hear the headline, T.I. compares himself to Tupac, you just roll your eye. You go, oh, come on, man. That's because Tupac was a beloved figure. He was larger than life. And you can attribute that to because he did die early. Is that it gives that mystique that adds to it. But he also has been in classic movies. He has classic records. And he was big in activism. So he was a larger than life figure. So when people say, man, who other than Tupac, like, bro, don't nobody be want to hear that shit. However, he does have a point. To be that well known and that consistent over this long of time in music, film, and business entrepreneurship, that is dope. But he's not the only one, though. Ice Cube's done it. Ludacris has done it. Yes, no, Jay-Z hasn't had a film or he hasn't been in a film or whatnot. But still, like, that shit, who gives a shit at the end of the day when it comes to that? That's probably the weakest thing on the list.
Well, that's what his comparison would be more so to Tupac over a Jay-Z or the people that you mentioned is because he does more activism. He speaks more to the things than Tupac was trying to do. When Tupac was talking about getting the Bloods and the Crips together and we doing this and we not going to have any violence in the communities and things that Tupac was talking about before he died, T.I. is of that same ilk. But I think to stop there and say that's what I am would be shortchanging himself. Like I said, those other people that you're talking about, yeah, they have a lot of businesses, they've been in feature films, and they do a lot for the communities. They just don't put themselves on front street like a T.I. would or like a right. Tupac would.
Yeah, but it's too. Here's the thing. He'll never be Pac because Pac.
He can be bigger than Tupac.
No, he can't. Pac went diamond. He can't. T.I.'s not in no classic film. He can't.
It's bigger than a musical conversation, though, and that's why I think T.I. is limiting himself there. Musically, no, he can never be Tupac, but he has. T.I., what, 30, 35 years old? He got years ahead of him to do way more than what Tupac had as far as just a thought. Mm-hmm. He can do all of those things.
Nah, I think Tupac crossed over globally.
But you still talking about music, though.
I'm saying period. His likeness is, and you just saw T.I. with the Tupac outfit on. If you had somebody do a T.I. memorial, what fit are they putting on? What classic fit are they putting on?
That's also because Tupac died.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's part of the mystique.
That's part of it. And to counterpoint on what you both are saying, I don't think he said he's going to be the next Tupac. I don't think that's what he meant by this comment at all. It's not about being the next Tupac. He just said, since Tupac, name me another person. So it's not about him being the next. And every category that you named that Pac, whatever lane excelled in, Tip has done it.
Not to this level, though.
I just think that he's shortchanging himself in that comparison. That's all I think. Like he's shortchanging himself. Tupac was a big figure.
He's a legend.
How is that a legend. Shortchange when you compare yourself to a legend?
He is a legend. All of the things in which you said, but he died early, as both of you have said, and was not able to do, as I just said, a lot of the things that he wanted to do, and a lot of those ideas is what made Tupac and what made Tupac live on, the ideas. T.I. can act on those ideas, and that would make him a bigger martyr, you would say, or whatever.
But here's the difference, though. The fact that Tupac accomplished all of that in such a short period of time. I'm talking career. I'm talking getting shot. I'm talking about shooting at the police. I'm talking about doing a bid. I'm just saying, the movie, like, just look at his life as a movie.
Right.
Like, it's ridiculous. And then when you realize the time frame in which all of 26. That occurred, you're like, shit. Like, in a classic movie, classic albums, this, that, the other. Activism, the whole nine. So you have to look at it in a bubble in terms of, like, compartmentalize how long he did it. It was a very short time. So yeah, if T.I. does do this over 30 years and he matches what Tupac did in 6, then it's not the same. I just really wish people would stop comparing themselves to Pac. Like, what's the point? Did somebody ask him this?
Well, he's been doing this for a long time.
Tupac has been a big influencer.
Yeah, he's a big influencer.
It's the same thing with LeBron and Jordan. You know, I mean, you're going to compare yourself to who you feel like is the best
to
ever.
You can go back to, like, Urban Legend and hear him say something about Tupac. Yeah. So this is not new. It's just new now because he's brought it up again. But, I mean, he has a point.
I think the King continues to shortchange himself, man.
Like, I don't see how you shortchange yourself when it's a legend that you're comparing yourself
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's rough. That's the wrong word you're looking at. I understand what you're saying.
I don't get it.
He may sell himself short in terms of the other things that he could accomplish that Pac maybe never even kind of ventured in. Like, Pac didn't have a TV show, like, kind of stuff like that,
exactly.
if we're talking just different facets.
Shortchanging
himself. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Please stop comparing. Let that be the last person to compare this.
Hey, man,
Pac.
King can do whatever you want, man. Tell him Ryan with you, baby.
Fuck. All right, man.
Best rap in Atlanta history.
It might be.
Clearly.
I'm not mad at that. I ain't mad at that. Okay. Moving on. If you heard the latest episode of Fresh for Dummies, then you know Kamora Lee Simmons is bringing her Baby Fat clothing brand back. Mm. Now, my simple question is, which hip-hop clothing brand do you think could make a return in 2019 and be successful?
I would have to go with Rockaware. And the reason that I would go with Rockaware, because it probably has the most familiar face behind it with Jay. And the trend now is high-end clothing. Jay is probably the closest one that could pull off selling Rockaware, rebranding Rockaware totally as a high-end hip-hop brand. T-shirts, $150, the jeans comparable to like Gucci, and making his stuff comparable to the other high-end brands that all of the young kids are so crazy about now. Give it to a couple young artists, let them wear it, rebrand it, like have your monograms or Rockaware or whatever it may be. Have even some stuff that looks similar to what's popular with Gucci and Louis Vuitton and Versace and the big shoes. Jay-Z is the person that could pull that off because he's already looked at with Beyonce himself, the brand, Roc Nation, what he's built as a luxury brand, Ace of Spades, mm-hmm. All of that's luxury in itself. So to relaunch the brand now, to say, you know what, since we are boycotting Gucci and since we're not getting the respect with the stuff that they're rolling out on the runways, I'm going to put the high-end brand out there. I'm going to lace a couple of my title friends with it. You're going to start seeing it in all these videos with the Migos. I think that rebrand would be probably a brilliant move by Jay.
You were right and wrong all at the same time. First of all, he's already kind of done that with the paper planes. The Roc Nation clothes are not cheap.
No.
They're not cheap at all. And they never go on sale. What the fuck? I'm just waiting on the sale so I can cop some shit. I would love to buy it, but it never goes on sale.
Yeah.
So he's already kind of doing that with that.
It's
but also, Rockaware already still exists, though.
That's true.
But it still exists. It's still a brand that you can buy.
I can find Baby Fat in Walmart.
Nah, no, you. I don't believe that.
Burlington. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, it's used.
Burlington,
ain't it?
Probably. No, it's not used. Burlington sells new clothes. It's just backstock.
Okay,
so that's
yeah.
That's probably the Rockaware stuff.
Nah, Rockaware has an Instagram that is active right now. And they have a website that is active where you can order clothes right now.
That's nasty.
Same for Sean John.
That's nasty.
Same for a lot of these brands that are FUBU's coming back. There's a lot of things that, because that's the trend now. Oh, we know how to do it. History repeats itself. Shit that was cool back in the day will come back now to be back fly. Here's the thing that you were right on, I will say, though. It's all about who is the person behind it. You can take Puff and put him in front of anything, he can sell that shit. You can take, just like Fashion Nova's done. Fashion Nova has turned into a legitimate brand by putting their clothes on everybody that's quote-unquote cool. So that's all you really have to do, and you'll get W's like that. So I agree. It don't even really matter what the brand is. What you want to do? You want to do Academics? You want to do Echo? You want to do any of that shit? If you put it behind the cool people, it will work. Period.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about all of them though. You naming some brands like Academics not rocking nowadays. One, because these are Academics, ruined that name.
And he's a horrible.
Nobody's
dresser.
Rocking that. Yeah. Two
random.
Like, just think about Echo. That was a big ass rhinoceros. Ain't nobody rocking that though, dude.
You don't know.
2019.
You never know. People finna rock this Baby Fat cat.
Can never say.
She changing that.
Can
cat.
Never
she
say never,
you.
Man. This era of weirdness, you don't know what's going on.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
As far as this topic goes.
As I look
goes,
at your wizard t-shirt.
Yeah, shout out to the future. As I look at this topic goes, Sean John has already done this. I don't know if you guys are privy to this information, but Sean John has launched in Bloomingdale's.
Yep.
So they've already taken the reins and doing this.
As a high-end yeah. Sean John. How it look?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar. Probably
it?
Different you know, it better be different material.
Better be different cuts.
You need to fix the cut on them jeans. That's just what I was about to
That's
say.
What I'm of course, the jeans are different. Of
yeah,
course,
yeah,
not
yeah.
The same carpenter, 42.
But I don't know, because you would think that now, like, okay, you go in Macy's now.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Sean John. All of the cut are wide leg boot cut jeans. It's 2019.
I haven't been to Macy's in a minute, but
I'm telling you what it is.
Last time I saw Sean John, they were definitely in Bloomingdale's for sure.
Okay, but are there going to be better designs is what I'm asking.
I didn't see any big bootcut jeans.
You didn't see the bootcut shit?
No. I know I saw them. They got a couple of new people in their ads. They had Blockboy JB doing some of their ads. They had Derez Deshawn. They should have hit me up for the Husky look. I'm hot at them.
Who are you talking about, Sean?
That shit. Yeah, tough. Yeah.
Well, okay, to a better point. The better point about this then. I don't think that Diddy operates Sean John and Jay definitely don't operate Rockefeller anymore.
No.
I think that it would hit better if it were operated by those people. Like, because you just from the fashion rollouts, if you've seen Sean John for the last couple of years, it's out of touch. And to have a website and an Instagram for Rockefeller and me not to know about it, like, that's trash. So I think that it needs to be like just like you got young people there with Tidal and you got the people behind Revolt, you need to do your clothing brand like that and not source it out overseas to people who like are familiar in that space just because they have a history in doing it and think of a new way to do it.
Well,
like I think like capsules and those clothing type things, that would be dope for a Rockefeller brand or a Sean John brand and how they mail that direct to order stuff that they do.
Right.
Like you do the whole fit, but you just do it with a brand instead of them getting it from everywhere else.
Yeah, that's trash.
I need that's
You talking about those what's trend boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's whack.
So if you had a trend box from a brand that you like, what's whack?
I would never have a trend box from a brand I like.
Why?
It would cost.
You don't go to the mall. What you gonna do?
That's listen, true.
You saving time.
No.
Time is valuable.
But do you know how much a trend box will cost for
a bougie nigga like
no,
you?
I'm saying,
the brand that you want.
No,
your
I'm
trend
saying,
box. I can't.
Those
I can't
trend boxes be like
$45.
I'm not.
It's gonna be worth it if it's a brand that you like. Okay,
brand I like $45 for three items.
If there was a company that had said, hey, I'm going to send you 5 graphic t-shirts a month. You give me $9 a month, 12 months. I'm doing that. You may not, but
because,
I'm doing
listen,
that.
Listen, I tell people this all the time. Man, it's hard for men to get away with cheap clothes. Okay?
That's true.
And if I'm getting 5 t-shirts from $9.99, they're bound to be cheap.
But you paying for the subscription, though. Because some you might send all the t-shirts back every month. It's going to be worth more. But that's getting into the business process of what they got going on. What I'm saying is that would be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
You just bougie.
No, I can't that's do all. It.
But you got to go touch
to Sean John's credit, they always had better designs than all the urban.
They did.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Clothing out at that time. So
they
I think
were.
When he sold them, I don't know who he sold it to, but like I said, it's in Macy's and Bloomingdale's specifically last time I saw it. And, it, you know, of course, they're, you know, riding the wave with certain trends, you know. So it's different, you know.
That Basquiat little rant run that they had last
year.
Yeah,
that
was cool.
People like that. People bought
that. Yeah. I like that.
I ain't seen nobody with a Sean John anything on in 2 decades.
Yeah, when I saw it,
even
a few
including
months ago,
Diddy.
Like,
including Diddy.
Right, yeah. Well, he got his money and got up out of there.
He ain't said nothing
smart
about Sean.
Man.
Sean
yeah,
time.
For sure.
Thank y'all for that fashion rant that nobody wanted from neither one of y'all.
You're welcome. Take that over, Fresh for Dummies.
Moving on. We're talking Cash Money, man. CMB. Now, with Drake and Lil Wayne gone from Cash Money, Birdman has introduced.
Drake gone?
Yeah. Birdman has introduced the next generation of Cash Money. Sort of. Cash Money has signed a joint venture with Young Thug's label, YSL. Which is home to, of course, Thug, Gunna, Lakeed, other artists like that. Now, add this to what Cash Money has going on the West Coast with Blueface. Did we bury Birdman a little too soon?
We didn't bury him soon enough. If he's dependent, if he's dependent on YSL or whatever the name of Young Thug's label, and the last guy that you mentioned, what was his name?
Lakeed.
Mm-hmm. I ain't taking nothing away from Lakeed because I did listen to some of his stuff, and he sounds just like Young Thug.
He does.
I don't know if it's good or bad. What
it's horrible.
I am saying is that we've seen this every 5 or 6 years with Birdman, and that's including going all the way back to the Cash Money days. You would have Juvenile, and you would have BG, and then, oops, you got Hot Boys, and you got Big Timers, and then you got Lil Wayne, and you got whatever it may be. You can go on down the line. He rolled out new artists every 4 to 5 years. This is how they do business over there. I can't understand how people continue to do business with them. I can't understand how people are hungry enough in this game to say, I don't want to do this myself. I want to put my destiny in the hands of Birdman, and maybe he will do right by me.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how people are continuing to sign up for that. So, no, I don't think the rollout will work. I think people are over the bullshit as far as it being branded by Cash Money. And what I mean the bullshit is they don't want to buy into Baby anymore. They see, I think that Baby has the bad aura around him now as to when people look into that and they look in that and they see you with that, they figure that you're not smart enough for me to support you.
I'll put it like this. There's a simple reason why people keep signing the dude.
They want to be friends.
I remember when Big Timers used to rap, he always used to say, I'm not a rapper, I'm a game spitter. Listen, he is running the coldest of game right now. For these niggas to steal in 2019 after countless and endless lawsuits, still be signing with dudes. So I have to start giving Baby credit for getting like reputable artists that are still looking to sign. I think NBA Youngboy may be in the mix somewhere. You got Young Thug signing his whole label over, joint venture, whatever the hell you want to call it. You got young boys like Blueface. Like, you still have to keep your finger on the pulse. I have to give him credit. After the Stunner Island got sold or was up for sale, and like after Drake and Lil Wayne dipping out, and of course, whenever Nicki's contract is up, she'll be on the first thing smoking out of there. Like, even after all of this, I personally buried Birdman. I said, you can't – what is Birdman with no artists? Nothing. He's reinvented himself with Rich Gang. He's doing it again now with YSL. I got to give him respect. I won't be checking for none of that shit because I don't like Young Thug or Gunner or Lil Keed. However, I got to give him props. He's keeping his head above water, dude. Like, kudos to Birdman.
I 100% respect it. I do respect it. I don't get the artist side of it. What I will never understand is the artist side of it. I will never understand Juvenile going back. I would never understand Lil Wayne not leaving. I can never understand Cash Money or Manny Fresh coming back. I can never understand any of that because the story is always the same. Telling Wendy Day telling us, whether it's Manny Fresh telling us, whether it's Juvenile telling us for a second time, whether it's Wayne suing for $23 million, the story is the same. And I don't understand how people continue to fall for it.
Well, I think it's different. Well, hopefully it's different when it's a label situation as opposed to just me as an artist by myself.
Like, keyword.
I mean, this is a partnership.
You know the keyword you said there? Hopefully. Everybody hope Birdman gonna pay them.
No, but that's the thing. I don't think it's Birdman. See, this is because it's a partnership. That means the larger distributor is probably paying them. Well, opposed to Birdman.
You know what? That's a great point, and that's a great point to what you said as well. I think since he doesn't have artists now, since there isn't a Wayne, there isn't a Nicki, there isn't a Drake, all of these headlines, whether it be Stunner Island getting taken, whether it be Birdman and Wayne and Courtney and Liv, they kissing or hugging or whatever it may be, whether it be he's doing this launch with YSL and Young Thug, none of it's revolved around music other than Jacquees. So if I can keep my name out here, then maybe, just hopefully, I can fool somebody again one day to sign to me. So
yeah, Thug and Gunner is a good artist to have.
I don't take Young Thug for the type of artist to put his situation with Birdman. I think Young Thug smarter than that. I don't think that these headlines are real. It goes to what I'm saying. I think that these are floated out there by Cash Money, a parent label, like you may say, in order to keep Cash Money afloat. They have a lot invested in them, so they want these headlines to tie to Cash Money. But when you're talking about the for real paperwork, I don't think Young Thug signing up for that.
Then what would he? Why would he put the fake headline out? What does he get to gain out of that, though?
Right.
The label. Maybe the label incentivizes him in some type of way. Maybe the label incentivizes him. Yeah,
that's
why I said we'll throw more money in your budget if you sign up to do this with them.
Right. That's why
something
I think
like that.
Universal probably cut him a check.
Yeah, like you said, if it's the parent company doing it and they trying to keep Cash Money floating, this legacy brand to sign over there with Universal, they tell Young Thug, you hot, act like you fucking with Birdman. We're going to throw money towards, what's the young guy name you don't listen to?
Lil'
Key. We're going to throw money towards Lil' Key. We're going to give money to Blueface Wack if you act like you fucking with him too. We just want to make sure that Cash Money is popping so maybe at some point in time we can continue to get artists over here.
Listen, I feel like they would cut bait, cut ties, and just start with another label.
They got too much invested in Cash Money, man.
Yeah, labels fall off every day. I can work with Baby.
Like, I can work with Baby, and I know it ain't finna be a high demand for more money or whatever it may be, because as long as I pay Baby, I'm good. He ain't gonna pay nobody. He ain't coming back to ask for no money because he kept all the money that I gave him. He ain't had to divvy it up. Shit.
I'm not gonna lie.
They like that relationship with Baby.
If you'd have asked me 4 years ago, he's in a better position than I thought he would have been if you'd have asked me 4 years ago. With Jacquees. Jacquees got high records. He's making noise for himself.
That's a fact. Cash Money not dead.
That's all I'm saying.
That's a fact. Cash Money not dead.
They're not dead.
I never understand how it's not, but they're not.
That's like, it's probably something related to fame. If these were unknown artists, then I could see you saying, "Oh, they just want the fame." No, like Young Thug is like, he's out here. You know what I'm saying? Gunna is on the way up.
If I'm trying to get my label popping, the Universal come to me and be like, "All right, I'm gonna increase your budget by 50%." Which is high as number.
Yeah,
I'm clearly. Just throwing that
yeah,
out
for
there.
Sure. Yeah,
you know what I'm right. But if I'm going to increase your budget by such and such percent, if you agree to work with Birdman, All right, cool. All right, boom. We're going to roll this headline out there. Young Thug don't know what's going on. All I said was cool. I'm going to work with them. I don't know nothing about this headline, and ain't nobody going to come ask me because this is the new generation. We don't do interviews, so no one will ever find out about it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Universal can be – they can get good off doing it. Why they want to keep them afloat, that's a good question.
Yeah, ain't no telling.
That's a good question.
Yeah, man, I don't think they go the extra mile just to create this buzz.
They do it all the time. It's the music business.
I mean
– that's what they do.
Stranger things have occurred.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I mean, they have a relationship, so I don't know.
This is true, man. Let's get to this music break, man. Who we got on this first joint?
Yes, we have the Los Angeles rapper by the name of Maxo. Song called In My Pennies. He should not be confused with Maxo Kareem out of Houston. This is Maxo from L.A. Just dropped a project last Friday called Little Big Man. And this song is called In My Pennies off of that project.
Let's hear it. Let me spark my weed. I'm a blessing to the dirt. Let me drop my seed. Remember smoking on my lonely, try to live too fast. I got homies in the pen that regret they passed. Back when you caught your first hammer with the tape on the grip. Brag about the little weed, you was not gonna flip. I was dying when you told me about the hoes you was fucking. Turn my head the other way, you got a baby today. But know that, even last place, see the finish line. This that doing your homework right before dinner time. This that cleaning off your shoes for the first day of school, cause your daddy lost his job just a week ago. They don't see it, but you do. Dream stretching from here to Venus, cause you seen that the streets really be sweeping niggas. That's your color, like your blood and your brother. My grandmama told me stay about them streets, nigga. And if you hungry, you know you got a place to eat, nigga. And if you wrong, you better step back and see, nigga, that you human. Cause Lord knows that we all made mistakes. Like it's a all right, man, that was Maxo In My Pennies. How you feel about that, sir?
That is easily the best song M-Extra has ever picked out since he has been a part of this program, and it's not even close.
So you say.
Yes, it's banging. It's banging. I'm fucking with Maxo. I went and checked out the project after the song. The project was dope. Nice little theme to it. I like this. I like this a lot.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. The song was fire. It's one of those ones where you want to hear more of the artist.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that good job, Maxo. You know what I'm saying? That's what you want out of your record. You want other people to go, man, I got to hear more of what dude talking about. Yeah.
You know, with him, Reason, that's kind of a new West Coast type sound. Like with some of J-Rock's album that slowed down.
Because it's like a
real
East Coast, West
talk.
Coast kind
of
thing.
Yeah, it's a new West Coast type sound. I like it.
The soulfulness of it. And it brings me back into a place where, you know, people rapped. And that's and
true.
That's what I like.
Agreed. Agreed.
Sure. Some of that missing on that Gunna. Drip Season Volume 9.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, Gunna, YSL, and Cash Money, that Rich Gang album comes out on the 29th. So this might all be pulled for that Rich Gang. I don't know what this – I don't know, bro.
I don't know who on this.
Whoever he just took Instagram pictures with, that's probably who's going to be all on this shit. Who knows?
The hottest white rapper out with gold teeth.
All of that.
What? he has one of those?
He used to.
Probably.
Several of those.
Good God.
Several times over.
Let's get to the topic at hand, man. We're talking sophomore slumps. This is the March Madness series that we have going on, episode 2. In case you missed it, last week, episode 1 was the 2019 XXL freshman class prediction show.
Yep.
Go get that if you sleep. This go around, we're talking sophomore slumps, dude.
Yep, our March Madness series, like you said, going through the March, all through March, everything from freshman, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. Next year we'll do those. Well, excuse me, next week. But what you have for?
Now, sophomore slumps, listen, guys. People come out the gate heavy and with their debut albums. A lot of people say they've been waiting their whole life to make that project. That's the cliche thing to say for your debut album, especially when it comes out fire. Now, you can't say the same thing about your second album. And a lot of times people come out, man, and they fuck up. They slip up. It's not quite the same magic. We've got several albums to choose from for this example. When you hear the term sophomore slump when it comes to hip-hop albums, what is an album that comes to mind?
We were doing the pre-production for this, and I think it was unanimously said, even when you Google sophomore slumps, this pops up, that Young Guns with the Adidas, though they trying to do their Run DMC thing on there.
The brother from another album.
Oh, my God.
On the cover of that, man.
Tragic.
And it was really because that first album was so good, and we had a idea of what we thought the Young Guns were. The music that they would bring, the greediness and everything that was to that. And, man, they come out with the Better Love joint, and we like, dude, what is this?
Yeah.
And not only do you hit me with the Better Love single, you give me a whole album of Better Love type, like, records. Like, nah, bruh. So that's one of the ones that that really just jump out to me.
That album is so some slaw. And like
so bad.
Here's the thing though. The first, and maybe that's the real Young Guns, because the first album really Slick surprised us. Like, yeah. People fuck with Young Chris to a certain extent up until that point. Now they fucked with him. Neef was cool, but nobody expected. If I would have told you, hey, watch them Young Guns, nobody was calling them ahead of time. There wasn't one person like, y'all fuck with Jay and Beans, watch what Young Guns do.
There's one person on earth that was.
Who?
Lil Larry.
Lil Larry. He rep everybody.
Exactly. Lil Larry was doing.
And everybody in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Because they had Buzz before, you know.
For sure. Yeah. That's a fact. But just aside from my guy Dipset, nobody else was talking about Young Guns. And they came out the gates heavy with that shit. That shit was fire. And they might have been smelling themselves on the second album to think it was cool enough to dress alike and do it. Like, they didn't have to do any of that
shit. You think they decided this? This is creative direction. Somebody told them to do it.
I hope they were fired as soon as that shit was out.
I mean, the Rock went like
it was on the decline.
That's a good point that you bring up, the creative directiveness. And I think that goes into some of the reasoning behind that we see some of the sophomore slumps. Sometimes you have guys like the Young Guns that are surprising first acts, or sometimes you have guys that are much anticipated first albums. And following that, the label tries to put their hands on it a little bit too much, and they take away from what you said. That first album, everything goes into it. That's your whole life, like you said. Yep. Going into that album, you've always wanted to be a rapper. Now, on the second album, you're trying to adjust to being a rapper, and not only being a rapper, but so many different hands in the pot when people are commenting now on your music. So
I think they're feeling themselves, bro. Mm-hmm. They're feeling themselves, and they don't know which direction to go, because you got the labels that's cutting the check, telling you to go in one direction.
Exactly.
You got your heart is telling you to go in another direction, and the fans are telling you to go in another one.
They wanted a commercial hit, you know, because Can't Stop, Won't Stop, and Better Love did well commercially.
Right, for sure.
So they wanted to follow that up.
That album was terrible. When I think sophomore slump, first thing that comes to my head is Mace. M.A. Dollar Sign. Harlem World was fire. Very nice debut album. But that's when Bad Boy was cooking. And then he dropped that Double Up album, and that shit was terrible.
It took me a long time to admit this, because Mace was my guy.
That was your man.
I went and bought this Double Up album from Green Hills Mall, Sam Goody that was downstairs or whatever store that was. But it took me a long time to admit it, because it's a couple of fire songs.
Yeah, no, it's got a handful. Okay. Max.
As right, long as y'all admit that. All right,
man, this album was
Max.
Cover was bad.
Oh, the cover was worse. The
cover was bad. The ugly suit, man. He looked like Joe Camel.
He looked like he was about to be a pastor.
He looked like he was going to go start preaching. That's exactly what that looked like.
I thought about Double Up, and I figured it out. He lost to Ghost Riders.
I thought Mace wrote, though.
Nah.
Mace wrote.
He wrote for Puff.
He wrote Puff shit.
Oh, so y'all don't. Nah. Jay-Z wrote for Mace. Y'all don't know that?
No.
I never knew.
Mace wrote "More Money, More Problems."
I knew they
though.
Were dissing each other in a song, but I didn't know they
Ghost
were writing
Rider,
for
the
other.
Right price, I can make your shit tight.
I'm
talking about Mace.
I ain't biting.
I thought he was talking about Puff.
That's a fact.
I thought he was talking about Puff right there.
No, he's talking about Mace.
I thought he was talking about Puff in reference.
Check
to
your
Mace.
Own videos. You always
be
number
two.
Talking about Mace.
Talking about Mace.
Yes.
But I thought he was talking about the writing part in reference to Puff.
No.
Because Mace.
Everybody knew Puff had Ghost.
Yeah, everybody know this shit.
I ain't know that Mace had no ghost right.
I don't believe it.
Oh, that's a fact. Look it up. It's a fact.
Mace wrote for other. He wrote for Puff too.
That doesn't
though.
Mean that Jigga didn't give him some heat.
Okay, that's fair. That's
maybe,
fair.
Maybe like a hook.
But am I saying you can tell the decline?
A hook.
That's true.
You can tell
the decline is apparent.
When Hov stopped fucking with him,
when
Hov stopped fucking with him, he was nothing.
That's true.
Yeah, happens.
I'm gonna tell you another one.
Wait, let me give you one that neither one of you guys would mention, because y'all probably didn't like the first album. But that first album was a major hit when it came out, and it was highly regarded.
What's
that? And as that first Savage Life. That first Savage Life was straight through Webby. And then that second one came out, and it's absolute garbage. Absolute trash, bad game. And I think it was one of those things where we were just talking about. The label gets involved. That first album, I know Webby could rap, but I don't think people expected it to do as well as it did, because it came out the same weekend as that first Jeezy came out, and people were listening to that in comparison to it. So I don't think people expected it to be so good.
Were they?
Well, maybe not on Glenwood. Maybe not on Glenwood. I don't know what y'all be doing on Glenwood.
In comparison
per
to Jeezy.
Extra, but everywhere else in the world, they was banging at Savage Life, and the part two was just a letdown, man.
But everything since Savage Life 1, you could say, was a letdown.
Yeah,
his whole career.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe that was just an anomaly. Right, and
yeah, y'all might know. Nah, well, he had good stuff before Savage.
He's funny on social media.
He is very funny.
Breakfast Club. Charlotte McGay.
Yeah, that's classic.
Charlotte McGay.
When I think
Angela Gee.
When I think sophomore slump, I also have to go to, and it's tough because they were a powerhouse in one time. But when I think G Unit, their first album and that whole push that they had coming out, that shit was dope. Beg for Mercy, it's a fire ass group album. But that second shit, the Terminate on Sight, is fucking like G Unit's fall off. Is bananas and really doesn't get talked about enough because you could argue, you could go the whole round. Everybody's first album was fire with the exception of Yayo. We're not really, nobody's really counting that. Everybody's first album is fire and damn near everybody's second album is a fall off from the first. You can look at Game with Doctor's Advocate. That's a fall off from Documentary. You can look at Lloyd Banks, Rotten Apple. That's a fall off from Hunger for More. And then you can look at the G-Unit album.
Buck album was better though, wasn't it?
No. It was a solid album though. It wasn't better than the first one though. He probably had the two most consistent records out of the clique, not counting Massacre and Get Rich or Die Trying. But the Terminate on Sight G-Unit album is atrocious. It's like three good songs on there. Maximum. Like they run was it was like they run ended for everybody at the same time, and I still haven't figured out why
it's
or how.
What we were just talking about with Kanye and TDE, had they pumped the brakes a little bit and not try to control this moment more so than extend it out and be here for 10 years as opposed to 10 weeks, I think the G-Unit may have been around longer.
Them checks rolling in, though.
Yeah, they are, but I mean, you just got to figure out how to pace yourself. And 50 probably did the worst as a A-list artist at pacing himself. He literally to the point now where you don't want to hear anything that he has to say unless it got something to do with power. Right. bro, 50 could come out with he could come out with a track that got the best producer, whether you go get Tay Key, whoever.
Best
he can
feature.
Have the best feature, and I swear it wouldn't do anything.
Nah.
Because he burnt you out. He burnt you out from Wangsta to whatever you want to go to, like that little small period of time, it was just too much. And
that's
now
true.
We know that.
That's true.
That's why I think QC needs to slow down.
I disagree completely because I feel like if you, your artistry going to rise to the top. Cream going to rise to the top regardless. So if you're a consistent artist, Jay-Z put an album out every year.
Yeah.
Here's the thing,
that's
though.
What I'm saying. You have to, a lot of artists, if you're good, you're going to stay around. They just weren't that good.
Okay, that's a great point. And I think they know that. Master P knew that he didn't have great talent. 50 knew that he didn't have great talent, so they try to get it all to you out here real quick and get that check, like you said. Ain't no way I'm going to extend it out 2, 3, 4, 5 years and people start to catch on and they stop buying it. So in turn, I'm going to give you these 2 Yayo albums in 9 months as opposed to giving it to you in 18 months.
I disagree in terms of like them not having talent, though, because they've got too many. G-Unit has a nice discography. It's just that they when they hit that wall, they crashed hard.
I tell you this, they're not as talented as the success yielded from when they first came out.
Yes,
they are talented. You're right.
Right.
But they not like Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, Tony Yayo are not number one rap group in the world talented. Right. They've never been that.
I think what happens was when you're not cool anymore, that adds it to, because 50 you could argue some of the records that 50 has brought out last 2 or 3 years, he had one with Chris Brown, one with Jeremiah, they weren't just terrible records.
That's
what I'm saying.
Cool. A couple good songs.
But nobody cared because he's not cool no more in terms of music. He's not relevant, so it doesn't matter.
And
we've seen that a million times.
And this time and climate that music is in, of course, 50 is considered old. So he took time off. So it's
that
hard
too.
For him to, you know, come back and stake his claim like that. He can drop a couple of good records, but people are not checking for him. As far as just the talent of the roster, it was just okay. It was mediocre talent, so it's not going to last.
He was the engine.
If we're keeping it 150, just a mediocre talent.
That's what I'm saying, the roster in general. Game was the best rapper by far on G-Unit, far.
No.
That's debatable.
No.
You think Lloyd Banks was the best one?
Probably. Bar-wise.
But Game overall was the best. I mean, it shows. Look at Game's career compared to everybody else.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Another album I think of immediately is Snoop Dogg's Dogfather.
Oh, my God.
We all know Doggy Style is a classic record. That's where we start all of our rankings and the whole nine with this particular show. Man, that Dogfather came out, though. He got the perm on the front, the vapors on there and shit, bro. Like, it was a huge fall off, man. Like, I haven't listened to it in a while because there's no need. But I don't remember if Dre left. Like, I don't remember who was behind it and what made it so some slaw as compared to Doggy Style. I can't remember how much Dre involvement, but you have to think that he wasn't there. Like, he couldn't have been.
I'm trying to think now, and I just do not remember. Was it for real?
No.
Was that before the Pharrell phase?
Did you just say for real?
He did have a Pharrell phase.
Yeah, but this was like 95 I'm talking about. Dogfather came out in the mid-90s. For real. And Snoop got together in 2004.
2001.
Right.
Yeah. 2001.
Yeah, we're just a little off.
Relax.
But that album is trash. I try to forget about it, but I immediately think of that when I think of Sophomore Slump.
Yeah, I don't think Dre was on that album. I think because this was Snoop's last album on Death Row, and I think Dre.
So this is when they had split up, done the whole thing with Suge, made him drop this album. So maybe he was mailing it in. Yeah.
The cover was all right, though.
That's true. He might have just mailed that shit in.
What was on the cover?
I mean, he did it like The Godfather.
Oh, yeah. That
but, bad. You know, he did The Dogfather.
Yeah, that shit was some slow. Gonna be real. Puff Daddy Forever is trash, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which follow up to No Way Out, which was fire.
No Way Out was classic.
And Jeezy Thug fire. Motivation 102 was absolutely way below what we expected for as far as 102.
Oh, is that the one where he had the song and he was like hypnotized? Like he didn't say hypnotized.
That was
a
lead
correctly.
Single.
Yeah, that was
hypnotized.
Bad.
I'm so hypnotized.
The reason
Kelly was on that album too.
The reason that isn't as good as the first one, I think he was really feeling himself. He stopped rhyming. Like there was bars that weren't even rhyming. Like he was really in his bag. You couldn't tell Jeezy shit. That shit came out,
he was on that whole "I ain't gotta be a rapper" type shit.
Yeah, you know, like
I'm Snowman.
And it's like, nah, bro. And it's not horrible though. Like I wasn't even gonna sit here.
This is worse album. Well, no, excuse me.
Stop.
Yeah. These recent ones, I really don't even count. Like the Church in the Streets and
Church in the Streets wasn't that bad though.
Just relax.
It wasn't that bad.
This isn't just horrible. There's a couple joints on there. Bury Me a G on there. That shit hard.
Bury Me a G is hard.
There's some joints.
The first one with T.I. is hard.
The first one was just so good.
And the impact was really hard.
Yeah. Yeah. And the impact was crazy.
Any other albums jump out to you?
The Notorious K.I.M. Mm.
Yeah, because that hardcore is a classic,
classic.
Female hip hop album.
No, it's a classic. All my female fans, it's a classic.
I'm just categorizing it.
That album's man.
But
hardcore.
That's probably the best female album ever.
It's up there.
It's up there. Yeah.
You want the fall off? The reason for that fall off is easy though.
Oh yeah, we know.
Big, stop writing the raps.
Rest in peace, Big. Yeah. We know why that fell off. And that Notorious K.I.M. is trash. Had a Cisco single. That motherfucker's slow. That album was garbage. Puffy. She did bounce back though because that La Bella Mafia banger.
La Bella Mafia was hard.
Yeah, that album is hard.
That album, I ain't gonna lie. That shit
banging.
Yeah, for sure.
2 Chainz, Boats 2 was some slow.
You crazy.
No, I can't give you
that. No way.
It's a fall off though.
That album banging.
It's a fall off.
The first Boats is so good.
Oh my goodness.
And then first of all, that first Boats is so good. And then that second one.
It was
two
so
or three
good.
Bad. So yeah, the first Boats, the first one,
it's cool, bro. It's
so
cool.
Good.
I know that's your man, but it's cool. Let's just be
that
honest.
The first Boats is like 4.5 mics. The second Boats is like 3.5.
What is Pretty Girls Like Trap Music? 8 mics?
Nah, that first Boats is his best album.
Nah.
4.5 mics?
Yeah. Nah. That first Boats, I still listen to that today. I listened to it today, actually.
That's just because it's your man's. As long as you know that.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What about Jay-Z in My Lifetime Volume 1?
Relax.
That ain't a,
relax.
We're not categorizing that as a Sophomore Slump album.
No. That album is 3 songs away from being a classic.
I think that album put him on.
Yeah, and it's a bad video away from being a classic.
That album really was when people started talking about Jay. That was the first time I heard of
Jay-Z. But comparison to Reasonable Doubt, though, bro.
But you got to think.
People weren't listening to him.
Exactly. When Volume 1 came out, people didn't even think Reasonable Doubt was all that. You gotta think about that.
Yeah,
people
Big
came back
too. Big died. Help him too.
That's true. That's true.
That came out around the time Big died.
Volume 1 has some hip hop staples on that.
No, it got some. It's got some
and
shit.
And it got some classic lines. Classic. I pull up in a 4.0. You pull up in a 4.0. I'm in a 4.5. What's the 4. difference 6. Between those two?
Right.
30 to 40 G's, cocksucker. What about that Wale Ambition album?
That shit fire.
I like Ambition.
Is
I don't know
it?
Why. Yeah, I like Ambition.
That's my favorite Wale album. Yeah. That album the shit. Now that Rick Ross Triller.
Trilla is a disappointment.
You could say that was a
disappointment. I used to like Trilla a lot back in the day, but I tried to go back and listen to that after we talked about it. That shit is some slaw.
It's not top-notch Rick Ross.
That's nasty Rick Ross right there. He was leaving a lot to be asked for as far as a rapper.
And also that Big Sean Hall of Fame.
See, but I didn't think Big Sean's first album was all that, though.
Are y'all talking about another Big Sean?
His second album definitely wasn't it either.
Who y'all talking about?
Big Sean's second album some slow.
Big Sean from Detroit?
Yeah. His second album trash.
He bounced back with that Detroit mixtape and then the following album.
True. The Dark Sky Paradise was fire.
Fire.
Ah, man.
But that second album is trash.
What do you mean? Why do you look?
I just think it was banging.
Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You must be talking about another album, bro. Nah. The Hall of Fame album trash. Yeah. especially what he did afterward. That Dark Sky Paradise is
superb. And Dark Sky Paradise is man. I don't think Big Sean has had a really bad album though. So I wouldn't put it in the slump category is what I'm saying.
Shout out to the artists who have avoided the sophomore slump. Kanye Late Registration.
Oh my God, Late Registration is my favorite Kanye album.
Like people big up the College Dropout, one of the best debuts, but Late Registration is bananas. T.I. Trap Music.
Oh,
fire. His second album was. That's the classic. That you know what I'm saying?
That is.
Drake Take Care. That's another one that was
my favorite Drake album.
That's a lot of people's favorite Drake album.
Yeah.
Damn, Spike.
I knew we had to get Drake in there.
Of course.
Way.
Big Life After Death. Classic double disc.
Say less.
Second album again.
Every song.
Was Pac's second album Me Against the World? It was Apocalypse Now.
Yeah,
strictly for my
Me Against the World was his third my favorite Pac album for sure.
Yeah, Outkast, AT Aliens,
new second one.
Woo,
the Hot Boy second album.
Their first album was fire though.
But the second one was still good though. You can't live up to that first.
The Guerrilla Warfare.
Yeah,
it was good.
The third one was when they fell off.
The third one was. We don't even mention garbage. The third Hot Boys. Yeah. Eminem, Marshall Mathers LP. That shit fire too.
What about Curtis?
That's his third album.
Curtis is 50. Well, I mean, we ain't counting the
Massacre
Love of
is
a Dollar.
Massacre is the second album.
What about Massacre?
I like that album.
You like that better than Get Rich or
Die Trying? Massacre isn't bad.
It's actually slept on. It's just too many songs. That's it. That's where they fucked up. They put too many songs on that Massacre. If they hadn't done that, people would look at it the same way as they look at Get Rich or Die Trying. Easy. But y'all do us a favor. Go on the Rap Chat. Let us know of some of your sophomore slump albums. Who didn't live up to the billing of their debuts, man? Let us know. What is the next music break? M Extra.
Yes, we have a homegrown product for the next music break. It is Deontay Hitchcock featuring Childish Major.
Mm.
And this song is called
Changed for You.
Yes.
That's your man, Deontay Hitchcock.
Deontay Hitchcock.
Let's hit.
I wish that our lives were different and music didn't take up my time. Getting older, them hoes, they cool, but I need a space to unwind. What you need, no, I got you covered, girl, just making you mine. Well, I may be later than Mac forever, but I can't make up my mind. I'm fucking with you, it ain't no need for alarm. I mean, you know all I want is you. I'm trying to walk you down the aisle to a door. We hit the reception off the Henny, we gone. If you was drunk in a room full of folks you love, would you run into my arms? I'm blessed enough to understand that we got love. Too old to be playing, sitting around and trying to act like it's not. Love when I'm with you, time freeze like the clock stuck. Didn't even really think about or even want to settle down. And you popped up, shout. You doing good, but I still be praying your life get better. Whether I'm in it or not, but you know this bond ain't the type to sever. So when they ask, just let them niggas know you good. Yeah. And they ain't gotta be explained.
Yeah,
good.
Baby, I get my last name for you. Yeah, just say the word and you got me, baby girl. I give up the game for you.
We are back, Deontay Hitchcock. Is it Deontay or is it Dante?
I think it's Deontay. Deontay Hitchcock. Let me know if I'm wrong, but I think it's Deontay Hitchcock. And that was him featuring Childish Major.
Changed for You. How you feel about the loop?
I like Deontay Hitchcock, and that was banging. I went to go check out this project as well. It was dope vibe to it. You're talking a lot about his relationship on here. I don't know if he just went through a breakup or what it was.
Yeah, he's been in his relationship bag lately.
But I like the vibe. He can really rap, but dude has a very nice flow. I'm wondering how long it's going to take before we start to hear more about him.
Yeah, because his first project was actually pretty good. I was put on him about a year and a half ago, so he's pretty good. And this is
we played him on the show before.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is from his Just a Sample 2. It's an EP he released last Friday as well.
Yeah, this song is banging. you're 2 for 2 for the first time ever on Deck. Congratulations. nice bounce back from last week. Because this song was fire.
Yeah, it was.
Both of these were fire. Like Deontay Hitchcock, I got to check out that whole EP.
Yeah, this bang.
That shit was dope. Before we get out of here, man, question of the week. All right, we're talking producers, man. Dr. Dre, he turns 54 this month. Happy birthday, Dr. Dre. March, babies, we in here. And Timbaland just signed a deal for his Mosley Music Group with Def Jam. My question is, which producer would give you the best chance at a hit in 2019?
Dr. Dre, just because I haven't heard a lot from him other than just working with Anderson .Paak lately.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted a hit and just the nostalgia that goes with it and saying that you got a Dr. Dre beat, I think people are more apt to listen to it, which is going to get you more spins, which is more likely to turn into a hit. I ain't never been a big fan of Timbaland style, no way, so I'm going to lean towards Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre hasn't had a hit. We're not counting Anderson .Paak, and I can't tell you when the last time he produced a hit. You can at least go to Jay-Z and look at the last time that Timbaland had a hit, because he had a couple of hits on that Blueprint 3, which it may not have been Blueprint 3, it may have been Magna Carta.
With, a couple of hits?
I mean, he's at least had a hit more recently than Dr. Dre has.
But you just said you can't count Anderson .Paak.
Right, you're just like...
Yeah, I'm not counting that. I'm talking about rap shit. This is a hip-hop show.
Well,
we're talking
people
rap
talk about
shit.
Anderson .Paak in the rap.
That's just trash.
He just want to pick Timbaland because he's
trash.
A Timbaland fan.
Timbaland will
What's
give
trash?
You. A, I don't like Anderson .Paak. I can't get into the music.
Oh, you don't like? Oh,
yeah.
And
I'm
sense.
Just not a fan.
Okay,
yeah,
I like Anderson .Paak.
Yeah, a lot of people like Anderson .Paak.
Sure. Yeah, I'm good. I'm sleep on that.
He's dope.
He's all right. I like his live shit though.
He slid.
His live shit is kind of dope though. His Tiny Desk concert was lit. Yeah. But no, I'm going Timbaland though. Easy.
Tiny Desk concert.
That
I
shit was hard.
Never watched one of those.
You ain't never
Anderson
NPR Music
hard.
Tiny Desk?
You don't never click on those.
Oh, those are great. Mac know. Miller's was amazing.
Yeah, really. His was tough.
It was really, really good.
I'm going Timbaland. Who you got though, Dre or Timbaland?
Oh, that's tough. In today's climate, I gotta go with Timbaland because Dre is such a like perfectionist music wise. If I want to just catch a quick wave, I'm gonna go with Timbaland because
I was
Dre would take too long with my shit.
I was waiting on you to say like DJ Toomp or something like that.
I would love to have Toomp.
I knew it. Just like just take Atlanta. Just give me an Atlanta person.
Shaking my head. Yeah. I'm saying Timbaland too because he at least got that bounce too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's
that
current
for now.
Right.
Timbaland, you gotta
and I wasn't shitting on Toomp and I just knew you.
You can't.
You're Atlanta bias.
Toomp is an Atlanta legend. Don't do it.
This is true.
He a legend. Period.
I'm glad you recognize that.
Yeah, I fuck with Toomp.
On Decker of the Week, we've got two this week, man. They're both coming from YouTube.
Oh.
Shout out to Sean Wash. Salute to On Deck. This is one of the dopest podcasts out. You guys cover all the bases when it comes to the culture and even the On Deck TV playlist on Tidal is fire. Keep up the great content.
Rock City.
Appreciate that,
Rock
big dog.
City.
Wash.
If you don't know, you're already slow.
And shout out to Loco Swag 88.
Loco.
My boy put me on years ago, and I listen every week religiously. Keep holding it down. We appreciate those comments.
Swag.
Good looking. Go to youtube.com/ondecktvpodcast and subscribe to the YouTube.
Also, go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, like. That helps us get the show out there to the rest of the people who are unfortunately not listening yet.
Absolutely, man. M-Extra, we got music. What's coming up?
This week we have... Your boy Nav is coming back out with an album this
Who?
Week.
Yeah,
Bad
sleep.
Habits.
Who is that?
Nav.
You don't even want to know.
No, Nav. What's he on, EXO? Yeah. No, Nav with...
I'm good.
Yeah.
Sleep.
Chief Keef and Zaytoven.
They came out last week.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. This came out last week, yeah.
I'm here for that new Chief Keef.
I tried to listen to that, too.
Yeah.
That's how slow last week was musically. I tried to listen to that Chief Keef.
It turns out that it wasn't because we got this... Deontay Hitchcock project came out, and the Maxo project came out Friday as well, along with this Glowtoven.
You sent your boy out. Did that just come out? Tobe, Nuechke?
Oh, yes. Oh, also, yes. Tobe and Ikwe EP just came out. I'm glad you mentioned that. I really like it. It's a dope project.
You really
got to
change that name.
What's his name? What do you mean?
You can't rap with a name like that.
Apparently you can. So, moving on.
Nice.
Nav, Rich the Kid.
To make money here.
Rich the Kid, The World is Yours 2 is coming out as well.
I'll listen to that.
And some guy named TL Cinco, 2.0 Cinco is coming out as well.
Shout out to him. Also, 2 weeks ago we missed it. Did y'all see the Def Jam compilation, Undisputed? They put out a compilation of all their new artists. On the label, they're doing a whole rebranding of Def Jam.
Chip was on that one.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Chip was on there. Thank God, because they need him. Because
yeah.
That roster is quiet. It's probably about three joints on
they
there.
They got Maxo on it, though, right? He's a Def Jam artist.
Possibly. I don't remember if he was on there.
Was Payroll on there?
No.
What?
No, this was all, I had never heard of anybody on there. They had maybe one or two features, like Tyga, and I think YG was on the song.
Right.
Other than that, it was all new Def Jam artists, their new generation.
Yeah. And to piggyback, that Tobe and Ikwe EP is called Three Originals. So go check that out.
I have no interest in listening to that, I'm gonna be real. Shout out to him, though.
Yeah, he's fire.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
Man. I'm continuing my workout, man. I'm getting back to it, like I said.
Okay.
I'm almost back in shape. You ready? You ready to join me, MX, or what?
Well, anytime you want to race up that mountain, I'm good.
I'm definitely not racing, though. That's the last thing that's going to happen is racing, nigga. Yeah. What you got up?
I am in that Us Jordan Peele movie Thursday night. Got my seat on deck. I can't wait. 7 o'clock. I cannot.
You already got your ticket and everything.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see Us this weekend. I haven't decided what day I'm going to see it. I'm thinking about Thursday, but March Madness is Thursday. I don't know how my schedule's going
to
be.
Did y'all listen to the interview I sent with him in the group chat?
I did.
Did it scare you?
No.
No.
It scared me.
It scared you.
To thinking the movie not going to be good?
Yes.
I think the movie's not going to be Get Out, and so you got to get that out your head.
Well, I know it's not going to be Get Out, but I think that just how he was talking about some of the stuff that he tried to play with as far as a filmmaker and some of the boxes he said that he didn't get into and he you may have thought that he was, that he didn't. That kind of, to me, is cold talk for you might not like this.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think he's bracing people for it to not be Get Out.
Oh, yeah. He just That's tweeted fair. About that yesterday. That's fair. He said Get Out was a documentary. He said Us is a horror film.
Yep. So do not compare the two.
Yeah, no, you can't compare.
Come with fresh eyes. Yeah. But I'm ready for that. I'm on that. What you on this weekend, bro?
Oh, going to see Us as well. That's my only highlight for the weekend, I think. I'm going to be low-key this weekend, working on some on-deck stuff.
I like that.
Fantastic.
Low-key like a midget locksmith. follow us at On Deck TV Podcast. Like we already done said, YouTube, iTunes, all that good shit.
Go to the Rap Chat. Join the conversation. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Give us your sophomore slump albums as well.
Absolutely, man. We out. We'll see y'all next week.
Gone.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.